And today, I want to spend a little bit of time in the New Testament with you, because in the book of Acts, something very important was started that we are a part of today. And this thing gives us position and direction for how to partner with God in our everyday. And so it's going to affect your day. It's going to affect your week. It's going to affect even this week that you have. And so we are going to get to that. So would you open your Bibles to the book of Acts? And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, there's a bunch of people gathered together, and the Holy Spirit came and moved in a mighty way. There was tongues of fire that rested on the people, and they began to speak all different tongues. And the presence of the Holy Spirit was truly felt in this gathering. And all the people were amazed. And Peter begins teaching the people, and tons of people were baptized. And it says that about 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that had gathered. And so we're going to start today in verse 42, and we're going to see what happens right after this gathering, or right during this gathering, but right after that. It says, they devoted themselves, we're starting in, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily to those who were being saved. So you can probably guess what this important thing is that we're in part of. And that is the church. What would it look like for this model of the church to be here? For us to be this church? What did Jesus want his church to look like 2,000 years after this church began? These six verses have so many answers to that question. And I think that this is one of those questions that we as a body of Christ, we as a body of believers here at the Bridge, we need to continually keep in front of us. We need to continually reevaluate. And it's not necessarily because those things change, but because as time goes on, we kind of tend to, if we are on our own, we kind of tend to drift or become distracted by our crazy lives that we're living. And so today we're going to come back to this picture of the church. We are called here at the Bridge in this place to be part of this church that is Jesus's hands and feet in this world. And that's what this portion of scripture is talking about. So in Acts chapter 2, this passage starts with devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals. This includes the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So let's start there. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The New King James says it this way, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So the word steadfastly here is translated with perseverance. So that means persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Okay? So as we pursue and we're following all the ways that we are to be the church, we are encouraged by this passage and by the early church to persevere. In fact, even the fact that it says steadfastly tells me that there's going to probably be difficulties and there will probably be delays, because otherwise, why would they say that? Why would they say that if there wasn't going to be some sort of delay? But when we come to this place of difficulty, we are encouraged to not give up, because we are not the first body of believers to have opposition. I know that shocks all of you, but we are not the first body of believers to have opposition. And a great example of this is just this last year. We seem to have all kinds of opposition and delays in what we thought should happen in the church. So we adjusted. We changed our approach, but our mission didn't change. We are called to care for each other, to fellowship together, to be devoted to the teachings in the Word of God, and we have continued to do so. Now, every Sunday that you show up here seeking what God would say to you, you are doing what is talked about in this part of what is talked about in this scripture. You're being devoted to the teaching and fellowship that happens here at the Bridge. Devoted to the teachings also means that we're paying attention to or studying the teachings. So the things that you hear here, the things that God shows you in these times don't just stay here. You don't just come and listen and go away as though you didn't hear it. You have to take them with you. You practice them. You let those things challenge your thinking. They challenge your actions. And as we study the word, it should begin to influence us, okay? If it doesn't influence what we're doing, then we're not giving it the attention that it needs. If it's not changing you, it says the word is alive and active. So if it's not changing our minds, changing our hearts, changing our actions, then we aren't giving it the attention that we should in our lives. We're not meant to be consumers. We're not meant to just come here and get, and then leave, okay? And then go live our lives like normal. We are meant to be servants. Jesus said, "Follow me," and he was the servant of all. We're going to get to that in a minute. But the next part is talking about being devoted to the breaking bread and prayer. Spending time together, eating together, praying together. Years ago, our pastor would end our time together on Sunday mornings by saying, "Find someone and take them to lunch." And every time he said that, I was like, "Oh, I'm supposed to take somebody to lunch. I better look around and see who I can take to lunch." It was the coolest thing because it got us connected together. It got us thinking about each other and the people around us. It's so easy sometimes to come into church, listen to the worship, enjoy the worship, have a great message, and then leave and leave quickly. And so that one thing of him saying, "Find somebody to take to lunch," it was like, oh, this extends outside of here. So eating together puts us in an open place. It's relaxed. It's relational. It's a perfect way to get to know someone and to get to know their heart and get to know who they are, what their challenges are, how you can be praying for each other. Sunday morning relationships are not meant to be all that we have together. Just see each other from Sunday, and then we wait till the next Sunday. It's not supposed to be that way with God. And it's not supposed to be that way with each other. We were made for relationship. It doesn't, just coming and then leaving and not connecting with others doesn't allow for a deeper connection. It doesn't allow for support. And so we have to be willing to live life together, which means bringing somebody alongside us, letting someone come alongside you. I know that we've said it many times in this year, but God is desiring that this church would be a church that prays together. Praying together and praying often. And when we pray together, it unites us like nothing else can. There is power in prayer, and it makes us look at this world with God's view. Look at each other with God's view. We're not meant to be a church on the sidelines talking about how, oh, this needs to change, that needs to change, and this needs to change. There's a lot of things that we can say that about. But we are meant to be a church on the front lines of the spiritual battles that people in this world are facing, okay? We get to do that in prayer whenever we gather together, and there's power in that. And we see some awesome prayer times on our Friday mornings when we gather together. And those things are the things that the church is called to be intentional about, okay? And what comes after that in this passage of scripture is what comes next, what comes from that is what's next. So everyone was filled with awe at the signs and wonders. I left this up there. Everyone was filled with awe at the signs and wonders performed by the apostles. Awe and wonder led them from there, okay? So they would gather together. They would pray. They would take meals together, and they found that they are having more in common. In fact, it says that when they were devoted to these things, they had everything in common. And you think, well, that's strange. But if you think about how the teaching, the Word of God changes us, prayer unites us, and those two things together, all of a sudden we have one heart. We're praying the same. Different personalities, different ways of living our lives, but we have one heart. And they were willing to give of what they had, okay? They were willing to give of what they had to give to anyone who was in need. And they continued to meet together, to eat together. They spent time praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And I love this picture so much. When they gathered, they became a resource for those in need. They got to be a resource. They got to say, hey, you have a need? I have an answer. I can just plug this in right there. I love that so much. It gets me so excited. And it says that the Lord added to their numbers daily those that were being saved. Okay? Take a look at that again. It says the Lord added to their number those that were being saved. What were the people doing? They were praying. They were eating. They were devoting themselves to the teaching. And they were spending time together. And this filled them with awe. And they started caring for each other. They started caring for each other, and the Lord added numbers to the people who were being saved. They were willing to give what each had to care for others' needs. And when they did that, God brought people in, and as they were cared for, they came to know God, and they were saved. And that is the church. That's the church. That's us. Now, when I think of church, I'm thinking of all the different people that make things happen here. We have greeters, we have people who make the bulletins, we have ushers, we have the ushers that take and count the tithes and offerings, we have the person who pays the bills, we have those that take care of the facilities, we have individual ministry leaders and people that clean the church. But in all those things, every task, every musician, every helper and teacher in this place, what they want to do, they want to end their sentence of what they do with, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those that were being saved. Okay? Every single person that served, when they talk about what they do here at the church, they want that to be the end of their sentence. I greeted on Sunday, and the Lord added to the number of people that were being saved. I cleaned the church, and the Lord added to the people in this place that were being saved. That's awesome. Like, think of that when you're serving in this church. By the way, thank you to all of those who do serve. But for each of us, in what we do to have church, we want that to be the end of our sentence. The Lord's purpose, the purpose of this church is not that we would have the right programs or that we would put on a good Sunday service with a dynamic sermon. We gather with the hope that those far from God would encounter Him, come to know Him, and live the life that only Jesus offers, so that God would add to the numbers daily. Daily of those that would be being saved. And so how do we do that? Well, first, we need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with Him. We need to fall in love with God's people, with each other. We need to get to know who God is. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus asked his disciple, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? He He said, okay. When they said, you're the Son of God. He said, okay, and on that, I'm going to build my church. On that, know who I am, and on that, I'm going to build my church. Your knowledge of me will be the foundation of this church, so that my church will look like me in the world. So that my church will look like me in the world. This power to bind things on earth and loose things on earth comes from that core understanding of who he is. Who he is. I think sometimes we get caught up in the going to church instead of remembering that we are the church. We are the church. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus here on this earth. And if you don't experience that before you come here, you should experience it here and you should take it with you when you go. And people that come here should experience that here and take it with them when they go. So who have you encouraged this week to be in the Word? Who do you ask on a regular basis, hey, what is God teaching you this week? We believe that God teaches us things as we walk this life. Do you believe that for the people around you? Do you believe that for the people in this room, that God's speaking to them, that he's teaching them things? So ask them, what is it? What is God teaching you? This is what community is. Who can you be accountable to in your life? Who can you share with what God's teaching you? Is it the people of God that you can share with? Is it your friends at the church? We need to love each other well. If we are the family of God, we have to stop and say, okay, do we portray a godly family to the world? We should love each other in this place so well that the world looks at us and says, I've never seen love like this before. I've never seen love like this before. God didn't design you to live life, your life alone. He created us for relationship, and we have the opportunity to live that out here together. And this is what it means to love people. That we would be so devoted to God that his character shows through and people are ministered to and they want more of him. And when we gather together, we are devoted to the teachings and we will worship God. But when we go from this place, we get to see it in action. And in John 13, John 13. Verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It doesn't say, if you want people to know who I am, you have to have your act completely together. You have to be perfect in your life. It doesn't say that when we have the perfect programs, we're going to reach people. It says that when we love people, they will know that we are his followers. It starts with those in this body and in this room, and it goes from here. Now, I have seen this church love each other well. Over the last few years, there have been needs that have popped up, problems that have come up, and this church rallies together to work on houses, fences. We protect each other. We reach out to the community in fundraisers and through Project Hope and other things. We look for ways to love each other. And when we're doing that, you know what I most notice about those gatherings? When we're at someone's house, fixing a fence or fixing a house or whatever it is, I see excitement. I see love. I see laughter. I hear a lot of jokes, and some of them are really dumb, and we laugh anyway. I see a lot of fun. And I see energy. because it doesn't matter what the job is. It may be something that's completely out of my comfort zone, completely out of my comfort zone. But when we're gathered together and we're doing it together, there's an energy that comes to that. When I was children's ministry director here, we had years that we did the Lord told me one year to do a sports camp. We wanted to do a free sports camp, and the Lord gave me this idea, and I was kind of laughing because I'm like, Lord, I am not sports-minded at all. Like, I'm just not. I did volleyball and softball as a kid in middle school right up until they said, okay, now just throw your body down and get down to that base. And I was like, I think I'm done with sports. I don't want to throw my body on anything, you know? And so I'm not sports-minded. And the Lord said, okay, now, Leanna, I want you to take your team and I want you to do a free sports camp. Okay, so for, I don't even know, it was like eight or nine years, summers of this sports camp. We saw kids come to the Lord. We saw, one year we baptized 17 kids and two of the coaches that were there. I mean, it was awesome to watch. And every single year, I'm completely out of my element. I don't know the rules of any of the sports, but the Lord called me to this place, and I'm out of my comfort zone, and every year, without fail, there was a moment during the week at which I stood in the fields in between all the sports happening, and I just wept because it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. It was people giving up their time. It was children hearing about God. It was fun, and it was laughter, and it was hard work. And I, every single year, I stood in that field, and I was like, wow, Lord, you did this. You did this. And that's what we get to do together. When we go and fix someone's house, when we go and fill this need or that need, we get to go, and we get to say, Lord, you're doing this. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Being with all of you and serving in any capacity is fun when the body is working together. In fact, the last time that we had an opportunity to serve someone in this church, one of the people that was helping pulled me aside and said, "Now you keep your eye out for the next person that needs us, and we will be here." Because there's just such joy that comes with it. That is the mindset that we see in the early church. That is the mindset that we can grab a hold of. We love God, and we love each other, and we serve each other. Jesus has asked us to follow his example in caring for people, and he has called our church to this property, to this place. The bridge was established in Springfield, and it was brought to this property for a reason. And we are right at the edge, we're right at the edge of Coburg, and we have the honor to be positioned to serve the people in Coburg. There are people here that need to know that kind of love, that need to know what it is to be part of the family of God. This family. When Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, I can't help but remember the part where the son had spent all his inheritance and he comes back to his family's property hoping that his dad will at least let him be a servant. And this picture of this dad seeing his son from far off, and he runs to him. He loves him so much that he doesn't wait for him to come to his property. He sees him from far off and he runs to him. And he rejoices in caring for his son. This is how he feels about us. And this is how he feels about those people that are right here in Coburg. And he wants us to love them the way that he does. Which means we don't just sit here on a Sunday morning hoping that someone from Coburg will show up. Okay? That's not our, we don't just do that. I mean, we do have people, but I'm just saying. But this love should draw us out of this building. This This love that we have for each other, that we find in the laughter and the fun that we have in serving each other, well, what if we loved Coburg that way? What if we loved the people in Coburg that way? We want to love them so well that they're kind of taken aback by it. Like they won't know what to do with that. They'll be like, wait, I'm inspired by that, but I've never seen that kind of love before. I've never seen that kind of care before. And I want to be a part of it. Demonstrating what it is to follow Jesus as we walk with them and love them as well as we can. God loves them more than you can even imagine. He loves you more than you can even imagine. And we get to be the hands and feet to show them that love by loving each other and by loving them. The church of Acts 2 met together. They made a habit of speaking about the wonderful things that God has done. And the people with ears to hear were amazed. And then God showed up and it drew people. And then the people had an opportunity to just talk about who God was, to share the gospel with people. And it came naturally because they were just getting to know them. And they could say, this is who God is to me. When God shows up, we get opportunities to see people drawn to him. And we need to be actively looking for those places. As a church, our eyes need to be wide open, looking for ways to reach out. And as leaders and staff in this church, we look for ways that we can bless this community. We go to Chamber of Commerce meetings when we can. We watch what's happening in Coburg events and ask how we can help. How can we bless the school? How can we bless this event? We want to be dedicated to pursuing ways to love this little town that God has put us right here next to, for the sake of them knowing him when they know us. So what is your part? Everybody's got a busy schedule. Everybody's got lots going on. What can we even do? Well, the first thing that we should be doing is be a family. Be part of a family. Don't be satisfied to just sit in your seat from 10 o'clock to 11:15 on a Sunday morning and then go about your day and not be a part of the heart of everything here. Talk to people. Spend a few extra minutes just getting to know them. Take them out for lunch. Ask them to take you out for lunch. You never know. Maybe they're supposed to do that. I'm just saying. We asked my dad one time when we were going home from church. They were talking at church one night about how we needed to ask God for everything. And so when we left that night, we said, Dad, can we stop at Dairy Queen and get ice cream? And he said, no, we don't have time. Or I don't know what he said, but he said no. And we just said, have you sought the Lord about that? And we got ice cream. So I'm just saying, sometimes, you never know, sometimes. Church is not just something that we check off of our list so that we can say, oh, we did our thing. No, church is fellowship. Church is family. And we are family here. The second thing is part of that is connect. Connect with other people. Let people in. Go to the men's gathering. Maybe not the women, but the men should go to the men's gathering. The women should go to the women's gatherings. The Bible study. There's a women's retreat that's coming up this fall. Women, you should go to that, or at least part of it. Go to the couples events. We had a great time yesterday with a few couples out at my parents' house having a barbecue. Just a fun time of hanging out, getting to know people. These are great ways to get to know people in this body. Pay attention to what's going on and say, you know, I think I could give, you know, an hour of my time to do that. And if you have your own idea for a group that you want to start, come and talk to us. Like, we would love to have more opportunities for connection. And the third thing is to be involved. It's our responsibilities as leaders of this church to look for the opportunities to serve. And as a family of believers, it's your responsibility and our responsibility to try and do whatever we can whenever we can. It's what we get to do. And when we're all together, like I said, lots of laughing, lots of jokes, lots of fun. And if you know of things that are happening that this church can be a part of, that we can partner with, come and tell us. If you hear of something that's going on, you're like, you know, I feel like the church should be a part of that. Come and talk to us. Like, let's serve well and let's serve together. Now, some things that are coming up, and I want to tell you this because this was so much on my heart this week as I was preparing this message, is the things that we know of that are coming up. One of them is, so last fall when all the fires were happening and all the people up at Blue River, a bunch of them lost their homes and lost everything they owned. And there is a group of churches in this area that have rallied together and are building sheds. They call it Sheds of Hope. It's through One Hope, which is the gathering of churches. And the Sheds of Hope is, they're building sheds to take up there so that the people who lost their homes have a place to store their stuff on their property, okay? So they've been building these sheds for quite some time now. They have, I think, 80 of them built. I think they're looking to do like 25 more or something like that. And we're going to have an opportunity to build one of those sheds. It's coming up. I'm getting the plans for the shed. And so look for that and come and be a part. And if you don't know how to build, that's okay. You can come and serve food, or you can come and paint, or you can. There's other things that we could be doing. We're going to build a shed, and then they can take it up there and bless one of the families that lost everything last year. Awesome opportunity to serve people. Another thing is Project Hope that we've been a part of. All the hope things, it's awesome. Because it's from One Hope. One Hope has, every year, they give away backpacks, they give free haircuts, they give all kinds of things to students going back to school. And at the end of the summer, every year, it's on a Sunday after, what's the date this year, Marion? The 29th of August. We have an opportunity to go down and hang out with the kids, hang out with the people, bless them. We have an assignment that we do every year where we help with, it's the doors, isn't it? Like the entering and exiting and things. And we help with the sound also. But it's just a great opportunity. And so when that sign up thing comes up, like, look for it. When it comes up and you say, you know what, I could go down there for an hour or whatever and just come hang out with us. It's fun. The third thing is, which was announced today, is the concerts in the park. Right here, starting this week, on Thursdays, we have a chance to go down there, hang out, listen to some good music. They hire all the bands that come and play. It's all different kinds of music. Each week is different. We're going to be doing one booth that kind of just, we're going to be giving away free stuff. So when we do this, I don't know if you guys understand what we do, but what's happened is that we want to bless the community, right? So we will get gift certificates from the ice cream shop and places like that, and we will give away prizes to people. They'll come and spin a wheel, is what has been done in the past. They spin the wheel, and then they get to choose. We give away frisbees and sunglasses and all kinds of stuff that just to bless them. If there are people that are selling stuff, then we will buy from them. We bless the school. Derek, explain the school thing. Like, how do we partner with them in the concerts in the park? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So all the funds, anything that we get money for at the concerts in the park, goes right to the school. And then this year we actually bought the place, or we not bought, but we reserved the space right next to our usual booth, and we're going to invite the kids that come to the concerts to come and do a craft with them. Christina's got a great one planned for this week. She's going to be doing squirt gun painting, so they're going to be shooting squirt guns to have the paint, you know, be painted. So if you have kids, bring them down and have them show the other kids and get to be a part of that. Like, they can serve that way. It's a fun place to hang out. We'd like to do crafts for the kids at least 4 weeks. So if you have a great craft idea, go talk to Derek and let's get signed up for that. Derek, do you have a sign-up sheet for how many people are going to be there or something like that? Should they let you know when they can be there? So it's every Thursday for the next 6 weeks, starting this Thursday, okay? This is just another one of the ways that we can be the church in the community, doing something fun together, and just hanging out for a couple hours, talking with people. There's no pressure. It's just hanging out. It's just relaxing. And so there's these awesome opportunities that we get to be the church. The church, fellowshipping together. We get to be the church. The more time that we spend talking to people, getting to know people, that's when we see those needs and we say, oh, we could do something about this. And then we get our heads together. Okay, how can we fix this problem for this person? How can we, you know, what can we do to do this? This is what we love to do. This is what we love to do, and this is what we want to be about. So I just want to pray for you guys this morning, because we want eyes wide open to those things. Lord, how do you want us to be the church? How do you want us to reach out to Coburg and reach out to my neighbor who you know, hurt their back and they need meals or something? You know, there's all kinds of ways. And God can give you people in your life that we as a body of believers can get resources to, whether that means checking in on them or meals or whatever. And so let's make this church about being hands and feet of Jesus. Would you stand with me? I got all excited and went a little bit long, but let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for this picture that you have given us of the church, of who the church is, who you've created it to be, Lord God. I love how you just created us for relationship with each other. And Lord, you choose us right where we're at, Lord, to love each other and to love others. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the people around us and the people in Coburg, Lord God, in new ways, Lord God. See them the way that you see them, Lord. See right to the heart. Lord, I pray that we would have opportunities to share who you are. I pray that we would have opportunities to bless people, Lord God, above and beyond anything that they could imagine. Lord, I pray that we would love each other so well that people would look at us and say, I've never seen love like that before. Lord, I pray that we would be your family and be a perfect picture of a godly family, Lord God, in how we care for each other and encourage each other and lift each other up. Lord, I pray for lots of fun times of serving together. And I pray, Lord God, that you would that you would add to our numbers, Lord God, daily. Not for the sake of numbers, but Lord, we want these numbers for the kingdom, Lord. Those that were being saved, Lord God. We want to be able to reach out to them. We want to love them, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray that as we go from this place today, that starting right now, in this moment, Lord, that we would be your church. That we would be your church, and we would be intentional about it, and we would love people well, and that we would love you well. We thank you for the opportunities that you're going to give us, Lord, and I pray that we would be good stewards with them. I thank you for each one here. I thank you for blessing me with this family, Lord God, this body of believers, Lord, that we get to laugh and be silly and love deeply and hear your word, Lord God, and process it and live life out together. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you that we get to do this, Lord. Thank you that you chose us for this time and this place, and do all that you want in and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So find that person that's supposed to take you to lunch. I mean, find that person that you should take to lunch and have a good week.